We're holding on Mem Daled Omud Beis. The line begins Itmar, a little bit past the middle of the a little bit past the middle of the Omud, about, I guess, 2/3 of the way down the Omud. Itmar, we have a discussion of Mem Daled Omud Beis. So by the two dots. Itmar. Suppose that a Tana, so far we've been talking about the point that we discussed whether a Tana can be Miskaddish by herself, that was the Machlokas Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, or whether it has to be through her father. We said even a Naira. So now if a Tana was Miskaddish without her father's Das, so does it work or not? Now Tosfos points out the question really could be asked about a Naira as well. After all, we just finished discussing the question of whether a Naira can receive her own Kedushin or not. So we're not one thing Tosfos says we're not mentioning in the case of a Naira, for one thing, because we're going to talk about Miyun over here, and Miyun applies only to a Ketanim. Anyway, so she was Miskaddish without her father's Das. So Omer Shmuel, Tzricha Get or Tzricha Miyun. So Shmuel says she's going to require a get from the Sechosin, if they don't want to go through with it.
Is it the father's want, or
So this is, we're talking about, it was, we're talking about in the end, the problem is like this. Eventually, we're going to say that we don't know, eventually we're going to explain in the Gemara, we don't know whether the father ended up agreeing or not.
Oh, he's
So
putting the
now,
money.
right, but now, so now the question is, did the father agree to these kedushin or not? If he agrees, then we can say they're valid kedushin. If he never ends up agreeing, then it may not, then it won't be valid kedushin.
Another thing, she's a Ketana. She doesn't understand to be a cup of money.
No, if she's an old enough Tana, she can understand what it means to be mekabel money. But nevertheless, we said that she doesn't yet have the yad. She doesn't have yet the ability in halacha to be able to receive money on her own behalf.
So who does it?
So that's the question. In
Where's
other
the
words,
king?
so that's the question. In other words, so. But the point is, again, we did have the machlokas Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish before about a naira. That's one reason that would be one reason why we're focusing on a katana over here. That's what Rashi says, and Tosfos points out also because we're going to be talking about miyun, and miyun is relevant only by a katana. Anyway, so Shmuel says we don't know whether her since we don't know whether her father ended up agreeing or not. So therefore, so if she wants out of these kedushin, says Shmuel, she's going to need a get and miyun for reasons they're going to explain soon. Now, Omer Karna, so Karna says Karna was a chacham who lived in that time. We find him here and there in the Gemara. We had him at the end of Ksubas. He comes up in a few places. He comes up in a number of places in Shas. It was a chaver of Rav and Shmuel. Anyway, Karna says, one second, dvorim begoy. There's something inside of a human, and there's something that we don't really understand. Why would Shmuel say such a thing? Im get loma miyun, the im miyun loma get. If she needs a get, which means that it's a valid kedushin midaraisa, then why the need for miyun? Miyun is only when you have a kedushin that was originally done midirabanan. If her father is no longer around, then she's mekadosh herself, or her mother's, or her mother, or her brothers receive kedushin on her behalf, or whatever. And
Someone to ask him, how do you give me, and how does he, the husband, give
not
me?
give miyun, meaning she needs miyun, she'll need to say, so the husband will need to give her a get,
And
and in
she has said,
addition, she's going to have to say,
I don't
I
want
don't want to stay married to him, right? So Karna says, I don't understand why Shmuel would say such a thing. Omrule, so the other Chachamim said to Karna, we don't understand either, but ho ma'ukva beidine b'kafri, you have ma'ukva, who was the Av Beis Din of that time, and his Beis Din, or sitting in the city of Kafri, which is near here. So let's ask them. Ma'ukva, in fact, we find in other places in Shas, was a Talmud of Shmuel. So let's ask him. They ended up flipping around the two opinions and sending it to Rab. In other words, they sent a message to Rab in Karna's name. They sent a message to Rab saying Karna holds she needs a get and miyun, and Shmuel questioning that. They asked that to Rab. Why did they flip it around? Rashi says because they wanted to know Well, they wanted to know Rav's true opinion. Given that Rav and Shmuel are friends, we find that in many places in Shas, they figured if they tell the opinion, so Rashi is explaining, if they told the opinions as it is, Rav might agree with Shmuel because he's his friend, and therefore and therefore say that's what it is, and then we wouldn't know whether he's going to pay attention to Kauna's objection. He's a Talmud Chacham, but nevertheless, the point is that's still like this. If they flip or this way, if they flip around the opinions, then they would see, they'd be able to see the truth of what Rav holds. With that said, I mean, there are other explanations as well. One of them being, first of all, we just said that we're going to ask Ma'ukva. Why all of a sudden are we ignoring Ma'ukva and asking Rav? So in fact, Pnei Yeshua says that it's Ma'ukva who asked Rav, and he's the one who flipped it around, whether it could also be. I mean, Rashi is saying that it was done on purpose. There's a different example in the Gemara where you have another example of that, where they flipped around opinions and sent him to Rav. We had it in Gittin, and Rashi explained over there that it means that by accident they flipped it around. So here it could also be. They asked Ma'ukva, and then Ma'ukva mixed up who said what and sent it to Shmuel, but there are various other explanations, one of them being Ma'ukva himself being a Talmud of Shmuel. So they figured Kauna is going to say, okay, Ma'ukva holds like Shmuel, so what? He's a Talmud, what do you expect? So therefore, they wanted to see what Rav is going to actually say. Anyway, so they asked it, so they said it to Rav. Omalohu, so Rav says, Ha'elikim, I swear in the Eveshta's name, yes, tzricha get with tzricha miyun, that the son of Abba Abba, which was Shmuel's father's name, or was also a distinguished Talmud Chacham of that time, that he should say something like that. What do you mean? Im get lama miyun vim miyun lama get. So in other words, Rav is agreeing with Shmuel with the way we said Shmuel originally said, and he's saying it can't possibly be that Shmuel would agree with that, would disagree with that din and wonder why it should be so. The fact is that is the din. So Rav is agreeing with Shmuel. Well, the time of my taka, why do you need, why taka in a case like this, do you need get and miyun?
Get should work both ways.
That's the question. In other words, once you have a get, then there should be no need for miyun or vice versa.
Get the device, and she might have been only engaged.
Well, that's what we have to figure. So the answer is Amr of Acha Breder of Ika, like this. Tzricha get shemen esratza av the kedushin. She needs a get because what if the father did end up agreeing, and in that case, then the kedushin are valid minatora. And there is, by the way, there was discussion among the rishonim. Doesn't mean that it works la mafreya. Doesn't mean only mikano abba. Whatever the case, the point is that once the father hears about it, in other words, we have to realize the case over here is that afterwards the father passed away or went away to Medina Sayyam or whatever. So we don't know. So what happened? She was in the Scottish without his das. Later on, he heard about it. Now, at a later point, we need to figure out, well, what did he say when he heard about it? Did he agree or did he not? And we don't have him available right now to ask whether because he passed away or because he went away. So if he agreed, then she is Mekodesh. Again, many Rishonim learn that it means it'll be Mafreya as of when the Kedushin originally took effect. There are some Rishonim who learn that it would mean Mikano Lahaba, from when the father hears about it. In any case, maybe that would be the case, and then she needs a get. Now, why does she also need miyun? And again, we're still talking about a tana over here. Shemaloy nisratza ab the kedushin. Because what if the father did not agree with the kedushin? And I then in that case, so why do you need anything at all? The problem is, if you just have a get, the yomru, people who see her receiving a get are mistakenly going to think that there was an actual valid kedushin over here, and they're going to think ain't kedushin tofsin ba'choisa. They're going to think, what if this chosin now later on wants to be the kaddish her sister? Now we know, as long as we know that two sisters are arayas, so as long as the first sister is alive, litzur legalos evasa aler abchayel, like we read Yom Kippur afternoon. So again, the case is Rochel originally was niskadish on her own. We don't know whether her father agreed. Now, if we knew that her father disagreed, then it wouldn't be valid kedushin. Now, because there was miyun, would mean it would undo the marriage to begin with. It would be as though Rochel was never mekodesh to him in the first place. Therefore, he would be free to marry Leah. On the other hand, if there was a valid kedushin and then he divorces Rochel, then he can't marry Leah. Leah would be an erva to him, and kedushin wouldn't even be tofus because, like any other arayas, tchayiv koris and kedushin are not tofus b'chayiv krisis. Therefore, in order that people, we don't want people to think that if later on he's Mekadosh Leah, people are going to think it's people are going to think it's not a valid Kiddushin, where in fact it might be. It's at least a Suffolk Kiddushin, because we don't know whether the father ended up agreeing to Rochel's Kiddushin. Therefore, we also require Rochel to do Miun. That way it makes it clear that there should be a Heker. Everybody should realize this is not a full-fledged get. It's only a Suffolk. So now if he goes and is Mekadosh Leah, we're going to have to require Leah to get a get as well. We're going to require Leah to get a get from him as well. Because what if Kiddushin were Tophus? What if the father had never agreed to Rochel's Kiddushin, and now it comes out he was validly Mekadosh Leah, but on the other hand, he can't actually marry her because of the Suffolk. What if he can't marry her because he was previously, because previously he was Mekadosh Rochel? So because of that, we're going to say a get is not enough. Because again, with Rochel just receiving a get, we're going to think if he's Mekadosh Leah, people are going to think, okay, nothing's needed. She's not Mekadosh to him in the first place. They're not going to realize that there's a situation over here where it might be she is Mekadosh to him. So because of that, we require Miun as well, and that way it makes it clear that this is not a full fledged get. That it's only to begin with, it was a get because of the suffix, and therefore whether he's Mekadosh to Leah is also a suffix.
But if she says that I still want to be married to him.
So in the case of Rochel, if she says she still wants to be married to him, fine. We need to arrange a kiddushin and a valid daraisa. Wait till she becomes a gedola and can accept kiddushin on her own. If you already divorced Rochel with the get and now wants to marry Leah, no, there's no recourse because of the suffix. We don't know whether he was ever married to Leah, to Rochel or not. And if he was married to Rochel, he's not allowed to marry Leah, kiddushin on him tophus. So no, with there's no recourse already. But yeah. So that explains why she needs a get and a meal. Usually, by the way, I mean, we're going to have many cases of Kiddushi Suffolk. We don't do such a thing of requiring a get and a meal. So the Pnei Yeshua explains over here that, look, the Suffolk is basically because of the question of Kiddushi Ketana. So like this one, she does Miun, people will realize, well, by definition, Miun is done only by a Ketana, so therefore they're going to realize that the effect that it has on her sister. Regular Sfeikas of Kiddushin that we had examples of earlier in the Masechta, and we're going to have examples of later in the Masechta, has nothing to do with her being a Ketana, so what good is it going to do Miun? A Gdola can't do Miun anyway, so therefore they didn't make such a Takana. So that explains that. So that's why Rav was very surprised to hear that Shmuel, according to the version they told him, that Shmuel should disagree with that, because the fact is that's the way it is. It has to be that there's the get and the meon.
And again, over here, we're not worried that it has to be someone who is, it says the pasuk, you have to give money in order to acquire a woman.
So that's the thing.
There isn't someone here to acquire
money. So that's the thing. She herself was given the money. That's the question. In other words, well, that's the question. That's the point. In other words, her father has to agree. If her father did agree, then we're saying that either Lamafreya or Makana Labor or Kedushin. That's the point. Right now, the father's not available to ask, but we don't know when he heard about it, what was his reaction.
But so let's say he died. So does the marriage stay or not?
So if the Kiddushin were done without his das and he never even heard about it, the Pashtus, then we would say that it's not a Kiddushin at all. What we're talking about over here is where we don't know what his reaction was. We know that he heard about it, but we know that he heard about it, but we don't know what happened after that. Okay. Well, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Vohu Sheshidchu. Now Rav Nachman says, though, this din of Shmuel's, which we're saying Rav agreed with, that would only apply only if beforehand there was shidduchim, meaning they'd previously talked with the father about this, so now you could talk about, once he heard about it, then maybe he agreed. So now you could talk about that it works for my friend. But if there was no shidduch in the first place, meaning they never even talked to the father, and the father never heard about it, whenever, then we don't have to be concerned that the father ever agreed to it, and therefore you wouldn't need a get at all. Now the Gemara continues. Ula Omar, Ula says. Usually when the Gemara means to say, when the Gemara wants to say when the Gemara wants to say a new statement of an amora that's not an argument on the previous one, then it's usually Omar Ploini. When it says Ploini Omar, it means he's disagreeing. So therefore, so that would imply that Ula is disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel. So he says, Afilu Miun Einat Tzricha. He says she doesn't even require Miun. Shmuel and Rav are saying she requires a get and Miun. Ulla is saying that so Ulla is saying that she doesn't require even miyun. Look, ein ma'aseh k'tana klum, what she did doesn't count for anything, therefore there's no kedushin even here to talk about. So the Gemara asks, does that mean that even if there was a shidduch, even if they talked with the father beforehand, and therefore there's the real possibility that maybe he ended up agreeing, Ulla would still say that? So the Gemara answer is man de masni ho loy masni ho. The answer is the one who taught this one did not teach that one, meaning, in other words, that the one who says that the version, which we're going to now bring a different version, the version that says that Ulla disagreed with Shmuel does not learn Rav Nachman's understanding that there's a difference between Shidchu and Lo Shidchu. So this version would say that that Amora would say that that Ulla said, when Ulla says Ein Tzricha Klum, meaning, in other words, that so again Rav Nachman had said that that Shidchu they need something and Lo Shidchu they don't need anything, Ulla would not be making that distinction. We would say according to this version, Ulla would not be making that distinction. He would say that we're talking about where there was no Shidduch. He would say that Rav and Shmuel were talking about even when there was no Shidduch, and Ulla would be disagreeing with that, which is more reasonable because then the father didn't hear about it, so then had never heard about it, Bechlal, so therefore we have no reason to think that Ma'aseh K'tana is anything. Now, Tosfos points out that this is a bit of a doichek to have to explain that way, to have to explain the Gemara this way. The reason is evidently Tosfos says because we're going to have a second lashon over here of what Ulla holds, and we have to find the distinction between the first and second lashon. If you say that Ulla is arguing even in the case of shidchu, then you're going to end up with no difference really between the first and the second lashon. So on the other hand, Tosfos says that maybe not. In the first version, we could say that in the first version, Ulla is disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel, and in the second case, in the second version, which we're going to quote now in the Gemara, he's not actually arguing with them. He's just saying a statement in a different case. They'd be talking about shidchu, like Rav Nachman says. Ulla would be talking about a case of loy shidchu. So they're not really arguing. Then he's just adding another detail that they hadn't mentioned. Anyway, so ikadamri. So another version is Oma Ulla Katana Shiniskadisha Shaloila Dasavia Afilo Miun and Itzricha. Another version is that Ulla said where she was a Scottish without her father's das, meaning again that her father never knew about it, and she doesn't even need Miun. So again, in the second version, either it's Omar Ulla, which means he's not disagreeing, but because then disagreeing would be Ulla Omar. So either in the first version, again, we're saying that we say that Ulla is saying in a case where lo shidchu and holding that Rav and Shmuel also said lo shidchu, and therefore disagreeing with them, similar to the way Kauna did. Although Kauna had said, why do you need one or the other? Ulla would be saying you need neither one. And in the second version, Ulla is saying a separate statement of his own, not in reference to Rav and Shmuel, and saying there's no difference between Shidchu and Lo Shidchu. Again, that's according to Rashi, according to Tosfos in the first version, we're saying that Ulla is saying his din only when Lo Shidchu, and is saying his din whether Shidchu or Lo Shidchu, and in the second one he's saying only when Lo Shidchu, which means that in the second version he's not disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel, he's saying a different case. Okay. So the Gemara says Mosiv Rav Kahana. So Rav Kahana has a contradiction on Shmuel on Ulla. So Ulla is telling us that where it was Shaloi Lada Savia, she doesn't require anything even meal. Now, we learn in the Mishnah at the beginning of Yevamos, you have the famous Chamesh Esrei Noshim, you have the 15 cases where the Gemara ends up saying over there, there are 16 where one of the brothers is married to a woman who's mutter to him, but is an erva to his brother. Classic example being where he's married to his brother's daughter. And we say then that if he dies, so Reuven is married to Shimon's daughter, which is perfectly allowed. But if now Reuven dies, then the daughter is potter from Chalitza or Yibum to Shimon because Shimon is her father. So now we learn in the Mishnah over there that also Tzarei Sehen and Sardis Tzarei Sehen are potter, meaning if Reuven had another unrelated wife besides for this daughter, then both of them are potter from Chalitza and Yibum to Shimon. And even if that Sarah herself went and then did Yibum with another one of the brothers, and then later on he died, and then that brother also had another wife, then that's a Tzaras Tzara, and she's still potter, and we had the whole thing about it at the beginning of Yibamus. Now, though, the Mishnah continues, V'cholon, in all the cases of that Mishnah, in all those cases of Chamesh Esu Nashim, Im Mesu, if the one who is the erva died before the husband did, Oy Shemianu, Oy Mianu, or they did Miun, because they were Ktana, and the marriage to begin with was only Dirabanan, Oy Nisgaushu, or they were divorced, Oy Shemimtsu Ailonis, or they turned out to be an Ailonis, where therefore Yibum and Chalitza don't apply to her at all. And in any case, it was Kedushe Tos, because he wouldn't have married her if he knew that she was an Ailonis. Sorry, Sehen Mutoris, then there's Tzoris Amutu, meaning in the same scenario. So again, let's say Reuven is married to Rachel, Shimon's daughter. He's also married to Leah, an unrelated woman. We're saying if Reuven dies, then both Rachel and Leah are potter from Chalitza and Yibum, Rachel because she's Shimon's daughter and Leah because she's her Tzara. But let's say it happened that Rachel had gotten divorced before Reuven ever died, or Rachel was a ketana when she married Reuven, and now she did miun, and so forth. So now, when Reuven dies, he's married only to Leah, and Leah is not a blood relation of either one of them. Therefore, she needs chalitza or yibum.
Since they married,
Reuven died. What do you mean?
Reuven is the older brother.
Doesn't matter whether he's older or the younger brother. He's one of the brothers. And you have Reuven and Shimon. You have two brothers.
Reuven's daughter married
Shimon's daughter married Reuven. I'm saying Shimon's daughter married Reuven. So, but now when Reuven dies and has no children, and let's say Shimon's the only brother over here, so then she'd be potter from Chalitza or Yibum altogether.
Why the second wife would be?
Because that's what we said. We learned in the Gemara there in Yevamos extensively how we know that the Tzara is also right, even though there's no blood relation, because she's Tzara of an Erva. We said it's actually a Machlokas B'Shama B'Shilo. The Halacha is like B'Shilo. Anyway, the point is, Rav Kahana says, when we talk about that she did Miun, in other words, so Rachel is a Ketana. So we have to figure out where did the Kedushin come from in the first place. Dekad Shaman. Who is the one who was Makadisher? Elema Dekadisha Aviyah. Are you talking about that Rachel's father, Shimon, was Makadisher while she was alive? What do you mean? Miun Sagila. How would Miun be enough? Get Malia Boya. She would need a full-fledged get. So then you can't talk about Miun. It's irrelevant to talk about Miun when her father received Kedushin on her behalf, right. Her father being Shimon. And Shimon is very much alive over here because we're talking about later on, Reuven dies and Shimon is still around. It must be that Rachel received Kedushin on her own without her father. Vikatoni deboya miun, and yet we're saying she requires miun. So what are you telling me, Ula, that there can be a case where she's Mekudesh without her father's das and she doesn't need miun? So what would be the case? In other words, what would be the case where she needs miun? So the question really is on Ula. Tosfos points out, I mean, what Shmuel also said, she needs a get and miun. Here we're saying that all she needs, here she needs, or here we're saying all she needs is miun. But again, since we said that Rav and Shmuel, since Rav Nachman had pointed out that Rav and Shmuel are talking about only when shidduch, only when they had previously discussed this potential kedushin with the father, so therefore we could say that we're talking about over here the Mishnah in Yevamos. Therefore, would be talking about lo shidduch, and they said then she doesn't need anything at all. The question really is on Ula, where. If you're talking about so Ula had said she doesn't need miun at all, and according to Rashi that means across and according to Rashi that's across the board, and according to Tosfos' explanation before, at least according to the Ikka D'Amri, she needs a get and miun. So what's the case where you would have miun by itself according to Ula? So therefore the question is primarily on Ula. Rishonim talk about the possibility that still, besides what Tosfos is saying over here, that maybe the question could be to a certain extent on Rav and Shmuel as well. The fact is that there is a case when there's miun required, they're saying she requires a get as well. But they have ways of answering them. Again, one point is, in other words, that it's only when shidduch, And we would say that, and we could also say that the Mishnah over there is mentioning the greater chiddush of miyun, and therefore it focuses on that. But in fact, it might be that she needs a get as well. Whatever the case, the point is, the question is that there we're talking about the father is very much alive, and yet we're saying miyun is possible. So how is that? And miyun is not only possible but required. According to Ula, at least according to some versions of Ula, it comes out no miyun should be required either. He said she doesn't need anything at all.
The father was out of town, and she was mekashrus herself,
but without the father's knowledge. If she was mekashrus herself without her father being involved, then according to Ula had said she doesn't need anything at all. So we said we have the different understandings in the two versions of Ula and in Rashi versus Tosfos whether there's any case where Ula would require miyun, but definitely there are cases where Ula says she doesn't require miyun. So now the question is, so what's the case over here where she does require miyun and where it would be effective considering that otherwise if her father's around? So either her father was Makadisher and miyun is not going to be effective because you need an actual get, or her father was not Makadisher and according to Ula, you need nothing at all, not even miyun. What is the scenario of that Mishnah where she requires miyun? But
if she, let's say her father was out of town,
Then she was Makadosh herself. Stuff,
which was through miyun.
What do you mean through miyun? Miyun comes afterwards. Miyun is if she doesn't want to stay married, then she does miyun.
Oh, she doesn't want to stay married. Yeah. But that's how I thought that you're also Makadosh.
You're not Makadosh through miyun. Miyun is to dissolve marriage. So the Gemara says, "Who moistiv bar v'hu mefarik la?" Now Rav Kahana, who asked the question, he also answers it. The Mishnah in Yevamos is talking about kigun shenasul ma'isi yisoma b'chaye av. This Tana already is considered a Yisoma b'chaye ha'av. She's considered like she's already an orphan while her father is alive. The case would be her father previously married her off to somebody else, which is a full-fledged marriage d'oraisa. Then he died or he divorced her while she's still a Tana. Once Nisturin happens, she's out of the reshus of her father. Now she can be Mekodesh on her own, Dirabon. So that's the case the Mishnah is talking about. So this Rochel has a history. Shimon had previously married her off to somebody else, unrelated to the family. He died or divorced her. Now, after the Nisurin, she's considered Yisoma B'chayevia. Now the father's consent is not needed anymore. Now, if she's going to receive Kedushin, the Chachamim still will misakin that she should have Kedushin, Rashi brings, based on other Gemaras, Shalo Yinago Mominig Hefker. You don't want people to treat her as Hefker because she doesn't have the ability to get married. Therefore, the Chachamim will misakin that she can get married, but that marriage is only Dirabanan. Therefore, Miyun can dissolve it. So there's the case. So there's the case where miyun is going to be where we're going to be talking about miyun. So now what happens is, in other words, so after that first marriage of her to some unrelated guy, she received a get from him, or she was widowed, as the case may be. She's a yisoma b'chayav. Now she on her own received kedushin from Reuven, her uncle, and now Reuven is also married to Leah, and then you have the whole thing that develops from there.
So then
we're saying that again, since Rachel is Shimon's daughter and Leah is the tzara of his daughter, then both of them are part of Chalitza and Yibum. So that's the case where we would have miyun even though Shimon is alive. Okay, Masiv Rav Hamnuna. So next, Rav Hamnuna says, I have another contradiction against Ula. Again, the idea that Ula is saying that at least in some cases she doesn't require miyun at all. We learned earlier in the Masechta about in the previous perek about the whole business of a father selling his daughter as an omahavriya. So a braisa says, ein adam, so the braisa says, ein moichel lekroivim, the father is not allowed to sell his daughter to a relative where kiddushin wouldn't be tofus, because as we learned there, you have the concept of yud, you have potentially the odin or his son should be able to be mekadesher, and if they're close relatives, we gave an example over there. For example, if he sells her to his son, then you have a problem. His son can't be mekadesher because she's his sister. The son's son can't be Makadishu either because she's his aunt, and the aunt is also an erva. So therefore, that wouldn't work. On the other hand, Mishum Rabbi Loza Omer Moichel El Kroivim, they said in the name of Rabbi Loza, you could sell her to Kroivim. They can't do Kedushin, doesn't matter. We learned previously from a Pasuk, Rabbi Loza says it doesn't matter. The Shovin, now they do both agree that you can sell her to somebody where kedushin are not allowed, but they are toifus. Shemoichra almona l'koin gadol. You can sell her if she's an almona to a koin gadol, even though the koin gadol is not allowed to marry an almona, but kedushin would be toifus if he were to be miyayed her. The grusha v'chalutza l'koin hadyet. Similarly, if she's a grusha or chalutza, you can sell her to a koin hadyet. Same idea, because kedushin are toifus b'chay v'lamin. So now the question is, Rav Hamnuna's question is, hi almona hechi domi. Let's figure out what's this case where the girl is an almona. Keep in mind, of course, that an Oma Hevriya can, by definition, has to be a Ktana. Once she's a Naira, her father can't sell her anymore. So we have to be talking about where she's a Ktana, where she's an Amona, she's a Ktana. So what's the scenario?
Well, if she was sold, she was a
Ktana. No, that's the point. But we're talking about she was sold, she was already an Amona. Elema de Kadsha Aviha, or are we talking about that her father previously received Kedushin on her behalf, and then she was widowed from that Chosin? What? And she's still Ktana. Mi moti mezabin lo. How could he then sell her? Once there was issues, once he was Makadosh to somebody else, then he's not allowed to sell her anymore. We learned again in that sugya of Amo Hevriya, we had a whole discussion about that. We had Rabbi Yezer against Rabbi Akiva on the subject, but we ended up saying the halacha is that once he was Makadosh to somebody else, then she's out of his rishus. As far as she's still in his rishus for other purposes, but not as far as selling her as an Amo Hevriya. We learned the pasuk says bevig day ba kivin sheporas talise aleha. Once somebody else married her, then she's not under her father's rishus.
Then we learned 2 days ago that if she go as a ktana, if she comes back to her father. The father
she's still mostly in his rishus after erusin. That is true, but not as far as selling her as an Amo Hevriya. Yeah. Evidently, we have to be talking about that she took Kedushin on her own behalf without her father's das, the Kakori La Amana, and was still calling her an Amana, meaning that she needed something to dissolve her marriage, either a get or at least miyun. Otherwise, how can you call her an Amana if nothing at all, if it had no effect at all? You can't call her an Amana.
It means that her
chosin died, but it means, in other words, he had to be a chosin, therefore. Right. So it has to be, in other words, that there was some effectiveness.
No get.
That's the point. In other words, the point is, fine, but the point is, at least the fact that it's that we're calling her chosin or her husband, and she's an Amana, means, in other words, that something happened over here. According to Ula, nothing whatsoever happened over here. It's not considered there was any Kedushin at all. So how can Ula say that she doesn't even require miyun? Based on this, it would seem that at least you need something. And Tosfos says, fine, we're talking about again loy shidchu. We're talking about where they had never previously discussed the shidduch with the father. But Tosfos says, because fine, we're saying if shidduch, then it would be considered as though her father was mekadesh her, and then we're back to that. So in other words, the question would be, Shmuel at least requires miyun, even when lo shidchu. So at least she requires miyun, because even though lo shidchu, at least there's enough over here that you require miyun. The kedushin can't be valid on a daraisa level, but you're going to need something. But Ula, who's saying that you don't need anything at all, then why are we even calling her an almana? And Tosfos also goes on to discuss, you could have a case where loy shidchu, and it so happened, instead of miyun, the husband chose to give her a get. The fact is, even though a get wouldn't have been necessary in that case, the fact is that still it passes her to a koyin. So that's where the case of a grusha in our braisa is not a problem for Shmuel. Because we don't have to be talking about where she required a get. We're saying that which technically it could have been undone with miyun, but instead of her husband gave her a get. But the question is on Ula, where he says she needs nothing at all. So why are we even calling her an almana? So the answer is Amram. We're talking about over here that the kiddushin that she received is not, and then she was widowed from, and we're asking whether her father can sell her again, is kiddusha yield. So her father had already sold her previously as an Amo Hevriya. She did yield with that odin, or with his son. And now that odin died.
And there's no son available.
Well, let's say there was no. It doesn't matter. Really. The point is that no, she doesn't continue serving the son anyway. We learned in the first parak, once the Odin dies, she goes free. But the point is, in other words, because the kedushin, we're not talking about regular kedushin. We're talking about kedusha yield. You're going to say Rashi says in that case, then you have the problem of that he already sold her issues, that he already said he already gave her away in marriage, and now he can't sell her as shifus. Because no, Because we're following the opinion, this Braisa is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, who says, now like this, we learned before, how does Yehud work? We said that the money that the father originally received for her as an Amma Evriya instead turns into Kesef Kedushin. That would mean that the father received it. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda says not like that. The money that the father received when he first sold her is a separate thing. Kiddusha Yud is accomplished by the Odin himself giving her a pruta. So in that case, we're saying that it's not through the father. It can be
through if the Torah is permitted Yud, so it can be.
But Yud requires Yud means kedushin of
right,
some kind.
So it can be through relations.
Yield through Bia, so we learned before.
That's not a regular case. Where it's
fine, but the point is, we're talking about there could be yield through Kedushin.
Okay,
there could be yield through Kedushin, and Rabbi Yossi is saying she's a Ketana, she received that money, therefore, so now it's not considered that her father ever gave her away in marriage. So now we can be talking about can he sell her again after that first Adin died. So now we're saying that he could, that he's still in a position to be able to sell her, even though she's an Amana. What do we mean an Amana? We mean from Kiddusha Yield.
Yeah, but once she was sold as an Amma, then the father has no right over.
That's what we're saying. Once she was sold as an Amma, we learned in the first parak that maybe he could sell her l'shifchus acha shifchus. Having sold her as an Amma Hevriya, he could sell her again if no Kiddushin had ever taken place. Now, if we say, like the Chachamim, that Moris and Rishonis themselves become the money of Kedushin, then you have a problem because then it's not Shifchus Acha Shifchus, then it's Shifchus Acha Ishus. And as Rabbi Akiva had said before, you can't do that. But now it's only Shifchus Acha Shifchus because, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda, she herself is the one receiving the money, not her father. And therefore, there's nothing to talk about as far as that's not considered a valid kedushin because her father is still alive, and he would have been the one who has to receive the kedushin money. Therefore, we can say that now this Odin died. Now she's an Amana. Nevertheless, her father still has the ability to sell her.
Because she was a shifchus.
There's no issues in between because the yield that she did by receiving money from the Odin is not considered anything at all, according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chacham, it is, but that's what we're saying. The Braisa would work only according to Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Yehuda. But that at least keeps the Braisa from contradicting Ula. Okay. The Gemara goes on. So what did we say so far? We're saying that according to Rav and according to Shmuel, we're saying that even she's niskadish shaloi midas avia, and we're saying there can be a case where she requires get and meal. So now let's talk about more implications of that. Itmar mes v'nofla lifnei achiv liyibum. What happens if after he was mekadosh her without her father's das? What if instead of giving her a get and meal, and like we said before, what if instead he died? Now she's up for yibum to his brother. So what's going to happen? So what's going to happen in terms of that yibum or chalitza? So Omer of Huna Omer Rav, Mama Enes Lama Amoroi Ve'ena Mama Enes Lazikose. Here we have to go back to dinim that we learned in Yevamos. We learned in Yevamos that the Yavam we learned the other day as well that you have Mimer, you have Midraisa, you don't need Kedushin at all by Yavama. All you need is Bia, but Midrabanan you need Kedushin. So that Kedushin and that Kedushin is called Mimer. So if the Yavam, so again, the scenario is Reuven was Makadisha without her father's das. Now Reuven dies. Now she's up for Yibum to Shimon. So Rav Huna is saying in the name of Rav that if Shimon did Maima with her, if he gave her Kiddushin, then she needs Miun. When we say that she needs to do Miun, so she's receiving a get in order to take away the Maimer, she's going to need Miun together with that get. But she doesn't need Mion just to remove the Zikr. If the Yavam had never done Mimer, then she doesn't need a get. Then all she needs is Chalitza. And you don't need, in other words, the point would be, you don't need Mion together with that Chalitza. We said before that there can be the case where you need Mion together with the get, we said before, because we don't want people to think that the get was a, we don't want people to think that the get was actually fully 100 was actually definitely necessary, and therefore kiddushin are not toifus with her sister. But Rav Huna is saying in this case over here, where you're talking about yibum, then that's not an issue. And he goes on to explain, what do we mean? Peitzad, so what's the scenario? Also by Maimer, if Shimon, the surviving brother, did Maimer with her, then she needs everything. Tzricha get, or tzricha chalitza, or tzricha miyum. Then she needs all three. Tzricha get, Shemen isratza av the kedushin sheni. We have to consider the father. We don't know what happened with the kedushin of the first one, but maybe he agreed to the kedushin of the second one. Maybe he was happy that the second one did kedushin with her. In other words, Rashi says like this: in Yevamos, we learned that Maimer, that Maimer itself is not enough to create a kedushin on a daraisa level. And if they want to get, if they don't want to go through with it, then you need a get and chalitza, a get to undo the Maimer as well as chalitza to undo the zika altogether. Here, where it was chaloy l'dasavia, then she needs not only those two; she also needs meal. What if because so like this? So we're going to teach out why she needs each of them. What if the father agreed to the kedushin of the second one, and therefore, so that would be then regular. So that would, but he didn't agree to the first one. So therefore, therefore, that kedushin would be valid min haTorah. It's not just maimer; it's full fledged kedushin. Because it could be, in other words, that the fact that she received the kedushin from Reuven, we're ignoring because it was shaloi l'das avia and was saying it never maybe took effect. On the other hand, when Shimon was Makadisher, which we're calling Maimer, maybe it was Maimer, maybe it was regular kedushin, fresh, because maybe she was never Makadish to Reuven in the first place. So therefore, she needs a get in order to undo that. So tzricha chalitza, she also needs chalitza shemen isratza abe kedushin rishon, because maybe the father agreed to the kedushin of the first one, so now she's up to, so therefore she, now it's a regular case of a yavama, and she requires chalitza. Or tzricha miyun, and she needs miyun on top of that. Shemela nisratza av loy be kedushin rishon v'loy be kedushin sheni. What if the father didn't agree to either kedushin? So again, if people hear that she received a get, they're going to think that they're going to think they were actually married, and you have the same problem, like we said before. In kedushin toifin ba'achosa, people again are going to think that if he goes and marries her sister, that kedushin aren't toifus and he doesn't need anything at all. Where in fact, because she was a ktana, her sister may or may not be also to him, and therefore the kedushin may or may not have taken an effect. So therefore, again, we need miyun, like in the scenario before, in order to make it clear to everybody that that the whole thing is a suffix.
It's a weird case yet.
So it is a weird case. We need all three of them. Now Rashi goes on to say, I don't understand. Rashi says, why do we need to even mention the point where the father may not have wanted the kiddush edition? Even if he agreed to the first one's kedushin, but he doesn't agree to the second one, then you don't have a valid get over here, because the get is only needed for the maimer of the second one. And again, we're saying the first one, the get is only needed because Shimon gave her maimer. But if we're saying, Rashi points out that look, what if the father agreed with Reuven's kedushin? So fine, the first one. So now that makes it that now she was fully mekodesh to Reuven, and now she's up for now she doesn't need a get, but now she needs chalitza. But the question is, if Shimon gives her maimer, and the father doesn't like that, so therefore that maimer doesn't take effect, then no get would be needed. And kedushin would be, and kedushin or toifus in her sister, because if she only needs chalitza, kedushin or toifus in achoitz chalutza is an issu only drabanon, and kedushin or toifus.
It falls out of the picture because she was married also.
She wasn't fully married. She was only mekudesh. She was only mekudesh. Well, that's the question. In other words, whether it was a valid kedushin or not.
But the father agrees.
We don't know whether the father agreed. That's the point. We don't know for sure. That's the point. We're saying, but yeah, in the possibility that the father agreed to the first one, it would mean she's mekudesh to him. If at that point her husband dies and Yibum is not, and there's not an issue, let's say he's an oldie son, then she completely returns to her father's reshus anyway. Here we're talking about where the twist is, that there's Yibum involved as well, because he has brothers. If the father agreed with the first one's condition, but he doesn't agree with the second one's condition, she's going to remain a shemeres yavam. She still needs yibum, but she still needs yibum or chalitza. She's going to be a shemeres yavam unless the first one gives her chalitza, or unless they wait and eventually he does maimer and yibum when she's older. But now we're saying that he did maimer with her, but the father may not agree with that maimer. So Rashi is saying, why are we saying that she needs a get? What if the father agreed with the kedushin of why do we need to mention the point that maybe the father didn't agree with the kedushin rishon, and we're saying because of that therefore she needs miyun, because maybe he didn't agree in kedusha rishon or kedusha sheni, and people are going to think kedushin tofsin or in kedushin tofsin ba'achosa. Rashi is pointing out we don't even really need that. Even if he agreed with the first one's kedushin and not the second one, you would have the same thing. The kedushin would also be tofus in her sister, because it's not achos gurushosa, it's only achos chalutzosa, and that's only an isu derabanan. Achos gurushosa is an isu deraisa. Achos chalutzosa is only an isu derabanan, and kedushin are tofus.
Again,
let's look at the Rashi.
No, but just the explanation. The last two things said my sister. And
there's the sister of Grusha, which is also Daraisa. A man was married to Rachel. Right. He divorced her. He's also to marry Leah as long as Rachel is alive. Then you have where he did chalitza with Rachel. Now Leah is also to him, but that Issa is only Dirabon. So Rashi says, okay, you're right. Maybe the Gemara didn't need to mention the point. Maybe Rav Huna didn't need to mention the point that he may not have wanted the Kedusha Rishon. The focus is mainly on that maybe he didn't want Kedusha Sheni. But it's true, whether he wants Kedusha Rishon in terms of whether she needs a get or not is kind of neither here nor there. And Tosfos goes on to discuss that further and saying that it's one of these loy mibaya, needless to say, if he agreed to the first one, she's going to need miyun. But even if he didn't agree with the first one, she's still going to need miyun. So again, in order that people don't think that kedushin, that ain't kedushin tofsin ba'achosa, and Tosfos goes on to discuss that at some length. Anyway, the point is that that's only if Shimon did maimer with her, the brother. Loi osaba maimer, continues Rav Huna, if he didn't do maimer with her in the first place, then it's like a normal case of a shemeres yavam where all she needs is chalitza. You're going to argue maybe even in that case she should require miyun, because otherwise people are going to think again that maybe that kedushin are tofus in her sister. They're not going to realize, in other words, that there's the possibility that there was a zika between them. No problem. Everybody knows that issu is only derabanan, and that kedushin are toifus min haTorah. So therefore, if Shimon ends up being Makadosh her sister, everybody's going to know that it's a kedushin that's valid on a daraisa level, because the issu of her sister is only derabanan, and therefore they're going to know that she receives it, that she needs a get. Da'amar ish lokish, as in fact Rish Lakish says, can Shona Rebbe, in connection with a Mishnah that we're in connection with a certain Mishnah in Yevamos, Rebbe taught Achos Grusha Midaraisa, Achos Chalutza Midivrei Sofrim, the fact that a man is not allowed to marry the sister of his Grusha, again, where he was married or Makudish to Rachel and gave her a get, that he's also to marry Rachel's sister Leah, but on the other hand, Achos Chalutza, but if he did Chalitza with Rachel, he's also to marry Leah only Medivrei Sofrim. So that's a clear thing. So now, if later on he's Makadosh Leah, everybody's going to know that it is a Kedushin that's valid on a Daraisa level, and therefore that she's going to require a get from him. And nobody's going to mistakenly think that they were in fact married to the extent that Leah is an erva to him and Kedushin aren't Tofus, because it doesn't work that way by Chalutza. So that's why it is, in other words, that you have this scenario again where sometimes you would need all three and sometimes only chalitza, depending whether Shimon did maimer with her or not. Okay. Continuing on this topic of kedushin without the father's knowledge, there were two people who were drinking wine together under tzipi in Bavel. CPU actually says two explanations. One is that it's related to the word Tzatzifah, which we actually have in Mishnayos Sukkah. So in Yonah Diyoma, where it talks about, no, so in Mishnayos Sukkah, when it talks about the dinim of the Dalad Minim, it mentions you need an Adrova, you can't take a Tzatzifah, even though it's a closely related species. It's not the definition of Adrova in the Torah. The leaves of a Tzatzifah are not long and skinny like those of an Adrova. They're rounder, the edges of the leaves are more jagged, the stem of it is white as opposed to the stem of an Arova is red. It grows in the mountains rather than by valleys. So even though it's a closely related species, it's not good enough for Arova. So that's Tzatzifah. So one version, according to one explanation, in Rashi is these two people were sitting under a Tzatzifah tree. The second opinion in Rashi is the word Sipi, whatever, means mats. There would be ledges sticking out of the walls of the houses, and then they spread mats over them so there would be shade for the people who are sitting underneath. So whatever, two people are sitting under a tree or under such mats or whatever, and they were drinking wine together. Shoko chad minayo kosa de chamra, one of them took a cup of wine, yoiv le lechabre, and gave it to the other one, Omar, and he says, mikad shalach brata lebri, your daughter is mekudesh to my son with this wine. The wine is a shalach brata. Well, Omar Ravina, filo lamanda Omar chayshin and shem nisratza ab. Even according to Rav and Shmuel, where the ketana was niskadish shaloi ladas avia, and we said she needs a get misafik because maybe the father agreed. This case is different, says Ravina. Shem nisratza ab ben loyam rinan. We don't say maybe the son was willing to. Here it was being done that he was being done without the son being around. So therefore, yeah, so we don't say
just the fathers, right?
It was both fathers, but in other words, the point is that the son is not in his father's rishus. The whole point about being in a father's rishus applies only to a daughter, and the daughter we might say so the father might be willing to be Makadish's daughter, even because like we learned at the beginning of the parak, Tavla Mesav Tandum Lamesav Aramul, it's better for her to be married than not. But the man is not like that. He's going to be more picky before he gets married, and he's not in the reshus of his father, so therefore there's no kedushin here at all. But the Chachamim said to Ravina, why? Maybe the son had previously appointed his father a shliach to be Makadish, a girl, on his behalf. So then in that case, he did agree there. And he answers, the answer is a person is not usually so chutzpahdik to make his father a shliach to go act on his behalf, so therefore we don't have to be concerned about that. The Rabbi Yaakov Emden points out an interesting point. We do find, for example, we find by Shechem, after in the whole story of Dina over here, where he says to his father, "Kachli, I say Yalda Azos Leisha, take this, get this girl mad." But he says, "Yeah, in other words, that's a chutzpah to go. He would do that, but a yid who has derech eretz for his father is not going to do that." He says, "What about Shimshin, where we find that he wants to marry this plishti girl? He was Magayer or whatever, but still he tells his parents to arrange the marriage." He says, "Okay, they are also, you know, he's kind of doing it against their will. They themselves are arguing to him and saying, why are you marrying a goyish girl? There are plenty of Jewish girls available, so therefore you could say in cases like that, yeah, but not in the normal case of a son is not going to do that.
Unless he's sitting alone the whole time.
Even then, he would go and do it. He would appoint somebody else as a shliach, not his father. His father is going to have more derech eretz for.
Still do it.
Okay. So there is discussion among Rishonim over here about are we talking about where there was shidduch, where there was a discussion beforehand, or was there maybe no discussion with the father beforehand? It was just completely out of the blue. And the fact is, in other words, again, the Gemara's question, Duma Shliach Shavye, we did learn, after all, in the previous Perek, that a father has a responsibility to see that his son is married off. Therefore, the Gemara asked, wouldn't it be that maybe he made him a Shliach for that purpose? What we're saying, to make him a Shliach is chutzpahdik, and he wouldn't do that. For the father to help arrange the marriage and arrange everything that's needed, sure, but not to actually be a Shliach to be Makadish for him. But the Gemara asks, "V'duma atzuye atziye kame?" Maybe though, what happened is previously the son had told his father, "You know, I want to marry this girl," and then the father voluntarily goes and does the shlichus for it. So in that case, it's not a matter of chutzpah, but nevertheless, the kedushin would be valid. So the answer is Amalei Rav Shim, or Lahu really, Rav Shim, Amalei Rabba Bar Shimi, Beferosh Amamar Lai Savala Lahad Rabba Shmuel. You should know that Ravina said clearly that he does not agree with the din of Rav and Shmuel that we said before, that we said that that we have to be concerned the father accepted the kedushin, and therefore that would then, and therefore there would be an issue in this case over here that that maybe the father made, that maybe the son, that maybe the father became the son's shliach. No, not unless we actually hear about it. So therefore, yes, Ravina is disagreeing with Rav and Shmuel and saying that you don't need, and saying that you don't need anything over here at all because there's no possibility that there's a valid kedushin here at all. Okay. Nevertheless, though, the halacha is like Rav and Shmuel because you do have in general, we say until the time and then until the time of Abaye and Rava, we say that the halacha is usually kibasroi. We say that usually the halacha is like in this case, actually, we do paskin like Ravina. We say over here, and we say over here that yes, since he disagrees, halacha kibasroi, the halacha is like the later opinion, and therefore yeah. The Gemara continues another example. Hahu gavra dekadish bekisha deyarka b'shuka. There was a man was makadish a woman using a bundle of vegetables in the street. Again, this was a ktana, shaloi midasavia, and he gave her a bundle of vegetables for the kiddushin. Omer Ravina, filu lamanda omer choshin shemen esratzaav. Even according to the opinion that we do have to be concerned in Rav and Shmuel's case that the father may have agreed to the kiddushin, hani mili derech kovod. That would only be, only if it was done in a bekavadika way. Then we could talk about maybe the father agreed with it or maybe not. I will derech bizoyin loy, but a case like this where it was derech bizoyin, then we can be sure the father didn't agree. Therefore, there's not even a chashash kiddushin. But Rav Achami Difti asked Ravina, what exactly is the bizoyin? I bizoyin de yarka, I bizoyin de shuka. Is it the bizoyin that he used a bundle of vegetables rather than something more bekavadik, or is it that he did it in the street rather than doing it in a private place? Nafkamina, dekadish bekasva b'shuka. The nafkamina would be, what if he used money and it was in the street? So you have the bizoyin of doing it in the street, but he did use money, which is bekavadik. Oi, bekisha deyauka b'beso. He used a bundle of vegetables, but it was in the house. Mai, so what would be the din? Amalei, so Ravina says, aidi v'aidi derech bizoyin, who either way, it's derech bizoyin, and therefore it wouldn't be valid kedushin. That the halacha is like Ravina, Tosfos actually discusses it at some length over here. Tosfos brings from Shiltis that yeah, the halacha would be like Ravina because he's basra, he's later than Rav and Shmuel, and that means that he knowingly disagreed with him. And then Tosfos goes on to discuss about the shidchu and lo shidchu, and Tosfos mentions an interesting case. A man went overseas to a foreign, not overseas, whatever, went to a faraway country. His daughter was niskadish while he was away. So Tosfos points out, Rav Menachem Miyuni, one of the Balei Tosfos, said, you know what? Her husband can't stay married to her. What if her father receives kedushin on her behalf someplace else where he is? Then the one who's over here, she's going to be an Eishes Ish to him. She's going to be an Eishes Ish who is also to him. And Rabbi Natam says, and so what are you going to say if the father dies in Dinas Yam? Is she going to be also to everybody? Because what if her father accepted kedushin for her? And they went back and forth on that. You're not concerned Shema Yikadish, you're concerned Shema Kiddish. And they went back and forth that maybe you have to be concerned like that, and maybe not. After all, at any time, maybe he wasn't yet Makadish. You could always say, I die in like Kiddush, and even if you could still say that she's mutter. So it would come out according to that, that we don't have to be concerned about the case where the father was Makadish or someplace else. According to Rabbi Natan, according to Menachem, you would have to be concerned about that. Okay. Continues the Gemara. Hahuda Omer Likrivoi, there was a man who was discussing with his wife who their daughter should marry. He's saying, I want her to marry one of my relatives. And she's saying, I want her to marry one of my relatives. Kafse, so she convinced, she forced her husband verbally to agree to the shidduch that she wanted. Until he finally said, fine, let her marry your relative, my wife. And they made a party in honor of the kiddushin. ad achli v'shasi, while they were eating and drinking. Now, the kiddushin had not yet taken place yet. This is a party in honor of the upcoming kiddushin. After party, they're going to accomplish the kiddushin of this daughter to the wife's relative, where she finally convinced her husband to do that. Meanwhile, osa krive v'igra. Meanwhile, the husband's relative came. Through on the set, igra usually means a roof, but here it means like Rashi says, ba'aliyah, in the second floor of the house, so out of sight of everybody, and makadisha, and he was makadish her, and he was makadish her. Again, we can be talking about whether there was shidchu or loy shidchu. So we're talking about over here that there was loy shidchu. So we're talking about they never actually discussed with this. Relative never discussed with the father whether he's going to do this kedushin or not. Anyway, Amar Abaye ksiv. So Abaye says, look, you have a pasuk that says she'eris Yisrael lo yasu avla. The remnant of the Jewish people will not do an injustice. V'lo yedabru chozav. They won't speak lies. In other words, Jews keep their promises. Since the father had said that he was agreeing to his wife that she can be Mekodesh to his wife's relative, we don't have to be concerned that maybe he changed his mind and now is willing to have this other guy do Kedushin with her. Therefore, the Kedushin do not take effect because we assume that the father did not agree with it. Rava Amar, Rava says, I agree that the Kedushin of this guy won't be valid. Rava gives a different reason. Chazaka inan terech besuda mafsida, because you have a chazaka that a person is not going to go to the trouble of making a whole suda and then ruin it. So therefore it means again that he did agree that the kedushin are going to be done only with the one with for whom the party was made, his wife's relative, and not anybody else. But then
why did he go on the roof and be Mekadosh to someone else?
The other guy went on the roof. The scenario is, again, the father, the discussion was the father wanted one of his relatives to begin with to marry her, and the mother wanted one of her relatives. Now the father finally agreed with his wife, fine, let her marry one of your relatives. The father's relative came through the roof, came through the second floor and was Mekadosh. The question is, did the father agree with that condition? We're saying we assume the father did not agree with the condition because he agreed that she would be Mekodesh to his wife's relative, to the one for whom the party was made. And again, either because Sheiris Yisrael or because Einon of Terech Besodor Mafsida. So it's not that he agreed, that's the point. He didn't agree to it. So you have different understandings among the Rishonim. Does that mean that Abaye and Rava disagree? They agree with Rav and Shmuel's Svara that you have to be concerned whether the father was agreed, and only in this case we're saying because of their reasons in this particular case, they're saying no, that doesn't apply. According to Ravina, maybe it wouldn't be necessary anyway. And then another possibility is that they do agree with Ravina, but after all, to begin with, he did want this shidduch, and only because his wife got him to agree differently, so maybe we would have a reason to think that maybe he changed his mind, and Abaye and Rava are saying that he didn't. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, what is the practical difference between these two reasons? Ikka benayu, deloy tara. The nafkamina would be, what if he didn't do any tircha? What if he didn't make a suda for the shidduch? According to Abaye, it wouldn't matter. Sheiris Yisrael, layasu avla. He's not going to change his mind. He's not going to, once he agreed with his wife, then he's going to stick to what he promised. According to Rava's issue of Einonim Terech Besoda Mafsida, according to his point that Einonim Terech Besoda, there's no Terech Besoda, therefore there's nothing to talk about. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem. We'll continue with more cases of Niskadisha Shaloi L'das Aviyah, more cases where a daughter was Niskadish without her father's Das, and what happens as a result of that. So far, we said, according to Rav and Shmuel, at least in some cases, she's going to need a get and miun. We said Ravina had said that not. And we're saying that that possibly even Ravina would agree in some cases that she does. But now we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll talk about more implications of this niskadsha shaloi l'das aviyah, more implications of that as far as other areas of halacha.
Yes, Shekayach, no one forgot.